Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ozzie Guillen.
I'm the captain on the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I watch.
I go to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Always a joy to talk to Ozzie Guillen. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
Morning, Oz.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know, there's a lot of concern about where the Cubs are at and what's going to happen here. Who has the advantage? Who's the team to? I mean, that loss last night puts them three games back with the Cardinals coming in. They got seven left out of the final 10 against St. Louis. Who do you figure is going to wind up in and out in this division?
Well, it's kind of hard because the way they play, you know, I mean, Milwaukee. Who thought with Milwaukee going to be like this in this run without Yelich and without the pitching staff they have? No, nobody was bet on them, and you know they thought they went out. But to me, the Cubs got to go face St. Louis with less than three games because I don't think they're going to be available to suit them.
Right.
Because that thing is good enough to play good. I don't think they have superstars. There are a few guys out there, but they know how to play in the stretch. They have been pretty good. They have clutch hitting. And the key is, to me, is just make sure when they face St. Louis, they're less than three games in the stands.
Ozzie, there's no question the pressure is on the Cubs with 10 games to go based on where they are, and they control their own fate, but they have to respond to that. In your experience, when you've been in this situation, what do teams do well that allow them to handle that pressure, and how does that pressure sort of manifest itself on the field?
Well, it's funny because they have experience. When you know experience is a little bit different, but then the Cubs, you know, I mean, good percent of the players, they have experience. They have been there before. Obviously, Joe Maddon, he went to every stage in the game. I think it's excited. I think it's excited because you go to the ballpark for a reason. You go to the ballpark to fight all the way to the end. You go to the ballpark to say, remember when we started in April? You know, just so many good things happen. You put pressure on yourself, then, you know, you got to fight against a lot of stuff. But I think you just got to go there, take it one day at a time, forget what happened in the past. Just take it, everything you got to worry about is in the future, you know, the game's coming with. Whatever you did in the past, win or lose, you got to throw it away and you have to concentrate what is going on from today all the way to the end.
It's interesting, Ozzie, because you know, you're looking at Tim Anderson on the south side with an opportunity to win a batting title and leading right now in that quest, and yet he also has been having all sorts of problems in the field and putting up some errors. He said something interesting. He said he's not worried about the errors, and neither are the White Sox, because everybody knows about his work ethic and how hard he works because he's made himself into the hitter he has. And that would indicate that he's going to be able to do that as a fielder. Do you, if you were still managing him, or if you were the manager over there, would you be worried about his fielding, or would you figure, does it work that way? If a guy can work and make himself a significantly better hitter, then he'll make himself a better fielder? Is it that simple?
Wow, you know, everything Anderson says is very interesting. Every time he says something, it's very interesting. I tell you what, if they have to worry about it, of course. I said in this show 2 weeks ago, this kid's got to get better. Obviously, got a lot better from last year to this year. Every time he makes an error, it's a key error. he make one, he's supposed to make that play in Seattle. He couldn't make it, and they scored, you know, in that inning to lose the game. They give him a base hit, but, you know, normal shortstop, he should make that play. But, yes, I think you cannot win anything without good defense of the shortstop. Shortstop, second base, every day. You look around, the teams win World Series, the team wins playoff, the team in the pennant race, they always got great defense. Defense will make your pitching staff better. When you play good defense, the pitching staff is going to be better, and that will help. Every time you make one error, that means you give the team another opportunity, you give the team more out, you give your pitching staff inning less. I think defense is very important. You got to, you know, you have to be aware of that. Not because you can hit, you know, the sun, you don't care about fielding, then you got to end up in playing center field. And I think defense is very important, and the White Sox got to stop him and say, you know what, we appreciate your work ethic. We appreciate, we love it. This game is not just about hitting. You know, that's the reason in football they got a special defense and a special offense. In baseball, you unfortunately, you got to do both.
Our conversation with Ozzie Guillen is brought to you by Elgin Genesis. Visit ElginGenesis.com for more information. Ozzie, Fangraphs has an interesting story today about how the White Sox struck gold on their most important players in 2019. Obviously, they reference Anderson. You look at Mancata. You look at Aloy. And even you look at Lucas Giolito. There are some individual accomplishments and progress that is certainly worth celebrating. When you take a step back, is that enough to look at this season as a success in terms of the rebuild? Is the arrow still pointing up? Because individually, yeah, there have been some victories. Collectively, I think you could. That's a good debate.
No, collectively, they're horrible. Well, I'm sorry. I'm watching the games every day. I think we feel great. Those guys have individual numbers. It's unreal. Look, Abreu is going to lead the American League in RBIs.
Yeah.
Anderson is the batting champs. There's nobody going to take that away from him. Giolito have unbelievable year. You know what I mean? Jimenez is going to be a great hitter, no doubt about it. But we got to sit down and say, wow, look at what we have, and don't think about what we need to do. That's not the way to look at it. I think they have a great group of guys. They got to get better. They have a great group of guys. They coming up, and now finally they start put it together in the big league. But it's not about one. Look at those numbers they have, and look at their 20 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And look what they need to do to get better. They make so many little mistakes to cost games. So, you know, you cannot go there with one pitcher in the stats, Giolito. And hopefully Giolito come back next year to the same stuff. But besides that, I don't think the pitching staff was good enough. They had 2-3 guys in the bullpen. They did a good job, very consistent. It's a lot of holes they got to patch. To put it together. Is they in the right track? Yes. They can be better, yes, but only God know what position they're going to be. To put those guys in that situation, I think they got a good group of kids, but in the meanwhile, you know, I mean, you got to put everything together to be what you want to be. But I think they have the right steps, the step forward from now on.
So they need to sign some pitchers, I think, right? What's the priority in the offseason? Do they need two starting pitchers? Do they need an outfielder? They got Louis Robert coming up, supposedly Madrigal coming up. They got other young players, but they need some veteran help, and they have money, presumably.
Well, you know, I mean, Madrigal's coming up. You've got to be better. You got to make the ball club look better.
Yep.
You know, I mean, obviously, in center field, no matter who you put there, is Roberts. He's going to make this ball club a lot better, at least better than this year. Mm. They've been using so many people there. I think Garcia is not a center fielder. Garcia is a utility player, a great acquisition for the White Sox. But I think they're going to need – they don't need a guy. They're not going to spend $300 million for one guy. I think they can go out there, get the middle-row guys, and make it work for them. You know what I mean? Just don't concentrate. It's just one player, two players. I think in baseball or not, free agents – they're going to have a few players out there that can help them what they're going to get without go crazy of spending money. And I think they're going to need – I think if you have a team to compete, I think Giolito will have a number two, number three to take the heat away from him. But look at the starting rotation. Who we have? right? No, this year, next year, it might be a different scenario, but, you know what I mean? If they don't have the pitches that we thought they were going to have. Everybody was hurt. Lopez was terrible this year. Giolito was the highlight of the ball club. You know what I mean? I think health is very important, but they got to come out together and push a little bit a good, better team defensively and pitch-wise if they want to compete next year.
Ozzy, we were talking earlier about the Bob Nightingale report in USA Today yesterday when it said, quote, the biggest surprise in Chicago this winter will be if David Ross is not named the Cubs' next manager by Thanksgiving. Now, there's a lot of discussion between, a lot of time between now and then, a lot of talk about, you know, what the Cubs will or won't do. But just from a perspective of David Ross going from, you know, the broadcast booth to the dugout, you saw it happen with Aaron Boone. You've seen other examples. How difficult of a step is that for a guy with no experience?
Not for the guy. You know, to step it up, and look at his shoes. You got to fill it up. You know, Joe Maddon, very successful manager over the years. You know, not because you're a good guy, not because you talk very well, not because people love you in the clubhouse, you're going to be a good manager. Obviously, you're not going to be a good manager if you don't have the good players. But right now, you know, it's not that hard to step up in baseball because you need to have a lot of help. You got a lot of help. People say, do this, do that, do this. You got a good coaching staff. People upstairs are going to help you to do what they have to do. Some players, some managers, they send the lineup to it. There's a lineup you're going to play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in the meanwhile, I think right now, is you get along with the players, you play your friend. I think it's good. Is you good with the media? That's going to help you. But it's not easy. No, Boone grew up in baseball. Boone is a different scenario. Boone was 2 years old, was with a uniform on. You know, he got a great family. They know about baseball. Boone was managing before he was managing. You know what I mean? Not because you are who you are. It's going to be, you know what I mean, good time for managing. No matter who's coming to Chicago, they got it, you know, the guy going to leave. He was a pretty good one. And people always got it, you know, say, well, this guy did it last year this way. Why are you not doing this year this way? You know what I mean? It's not easy to manage the Cubs no matter who's coming.
Ozzy, thank you. We appreciate it, buddy.
Good stuff, Ozzy. Thanks
up.
A lot.
All right,
yep.
Guys, thank you.
You take care.
That's Ozzy Guillen, NBC Sports Chicago.
He's right. He's so right.
Yeah.
No matter who it is, it's going to be a tough act to follow.
But it is going to be someone. And
it will be.
Doesn't it feel – and I don't mean to be rude about it because it's not the time for this to happen, but the very fact that they keep telling you it's not the time to worry about it tells you that the time's coming. It's in the offing, and you're 10 games away. Who knows? Maybe you're 10 games away from the end. Maybe it's going to be longer. Maybe you get in the playoffs. Maybe you're a couple weeks away. Maybe you're a month away. But there's a train that is bearing down upon you, and it's going to make an impact.
That's why today's a good day to hear from Jed Hoyer, who will be on with Connor and Dan at 11 o'clock today.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunately – or fortunately, whatever way you want to balance it, that question becomes one you must ask based on the fact that it was in USA Today and Bob Nightingale and his understanding.
It's out there, and it wasn't necessarily something that was hedged. It was almost like reported without reporting it, a matter of fact. People will be surprised if David Ross isn't the next Cubs manager by Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's
and really, Dustin wants it by Halloween.
That's really saying something. Is that what you want, Dustin?
Dress up like Rossi.
He wants a Rossi mask.
I just don't understand. If you're going to do this, and I'm not saying they should do this, but if you're going to do it, why would you let it fester?
Wouldn't that interfere with the World Series?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. Yeah.
The parade? When is the parade, Dustin?
Yeah, there's that.
Have you booked Grant Park?
All right.
I would love there to be another one. That was my favorite day of the whole celebration. It's the only day that I actually enjoyed of it.
312-644-6767. Someone on our panel said earlier that that there'll be a lot of backlash when Joe is finally let go. Is that the case? When you hear about a report like this, does it give you pause? Do you say that's crazy? Or do you say, like John Heyman told us, that's what everyone in baseball is saying? Will you be mad? Will you be sad? Is this inevitable, and how do you avoid it? Can it be avoided at this point? 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the score.
You'll see the shirt. The shirt's coming out soon. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is going to be a lot of fun. It's true. It's not an easy task. Anything and everything's possible. We're going to go into it with that thought. It's one at a time, and we'll make the best. We got Kyle tomorrow, correct? And he's a good leadoff hitter for the series.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and that's really interesting because Joe just used a baseball metaphor while talking about his starting pitcher.
He's not leading off.
The good leadoff hitter is the leadoff pitcher.
So don't
see,
take that literally.
See how that works?
I know they're looking for a leadoff guy, but they're not going to bat Kyle Hendricks tonight.
I would pay top dollar if Kyle Hendricks came out and led off that game and like bunted every time up or something. It would be so awesome. And it would give us so much fodder to talk about tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. It would.
No, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, it would be a lot of fun. But I think more importantly, you'd like to see Kyle Hendricks be the pitcher that he has been at Wrigley Field, because this is a guy who at home is 6-2 with a 1.75 ERA. This is a different pitcher than the Kyle Hendricks you see away from Wrigley Field. And that's the guy they need him to be tonight, because he's facing the hottest pitcher in the National League in the second half, and Jack Flaherty. This is going to be a great matchup. A lot riding on it. The Cubs still control their own fate, and it's a good way to get this one started.
And obviously, you got the four-game set at home against the Cardinals. They're off on Monday. Then they go to Pittsburgh. Great place to go. Get one of those great sandwiches and handle business. So you go to Pittsburgh, and then you go to the Cardinals. And Dustin said something earlier today that I had not really sat back and thought about, which is, you know, we're leaving here tomorrow. We're going to watch the weekend. Sunday could be Joe's last game as Cubs manager at Wrigley Field.
I hadn't thought about that in that context either.
No.
And it hits you, and you're like, oh, stop exaggerating. It's early. I haven't had my coffee kick in yet. And then you're like, he's right.
That's chilling.
He's right, because
I'm
and
not
that
ready
would
for that.
Be, that yeah. makes me a little bit, I'm just going to be totally honest about my reaction to that. I was like, that makes you kind of sad. If this is the last you're going to see potentially of Joe Maddon at Wrigley Field managing the Cubs, I don't know that I feel like that doesn't excite you. Doesn't excite me. I think it's unfortunate the way that this would end, if that is the way that it's going to end, because I've maintained this all along. Be careful what you wish for, really, because if that's Sunday is the last day that you see Joe Maddon manage a game at Wrigley Field, it means they missed the playoffs. And it means that, or they make the playoffs, they go on the road and they don't return. Either way, it's not the way you want it to end.
312-644-6767. We'll start with Rocco. He's in his car. Good morning, Rocco.
Hey, Rocco.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right. You got to keep Joe Maddon. If you want to be the best, you got to keep the best. And it always seems like the Cubs, when they reach the top of the mountain, we did the same thing in 2016. We had the best reliever in baseball. And even before he was gone, we were talking about who are we going to replace him with. And I think that it's been a dark cloud over this club for the last half of the year, this not knowing if a Maddon's coming back. And I think if he doesn't come back, you're going to have a lot of the players, a lot of these core players that may not re-sign when it comes up their time. It's a very tight-knit group, and I put the whole mess of this season at the foot of Theo and Tom Ricketts, and I think Joe Maddon has been the guy that has been the glue to keep all this together and has kept them where they are right now. So that's all I got to say. I love David Ross, but I tell you, if I'm David Ross, and I'm stepping in after Madden leaves, man, that's like walking into a hornet's nest, because I know I will not be happy as a Cub fan, period.
Thanks, Rocco.
All right, Rocco. And again, we're talking about this because Bob Nightingale wrote in USA Today on Wednesday that the biggest surprise in Chicago this winter will be if David Ross is not named the next manager of the Cubs by Thanksgiving.
And John Heyman told us on Monday that this is what he was hearing in baseball. And people in the industry have been talking about this for several weeks. So you got guys who are national baseball,
yep,
respected columnists, reporters, analysts, talking about the inevitable. And the inevitable is that maybe the Cubs were going to change managers. And, Rocco brings up a good point that Chris Bryant really gave voice to last week, I think, in a story in The Athletic. This distraction, this noise has, you know, the Cubs have been affected by this. It's a daily reality when they go to Wrigley Field, when they're in Chicago, when they travel. The speculation about the future, the uncertainty. These are professional athletes. You have to tune it out. They get paid millions of dollars to do so, but they're also human. And so it's going to affect you at some point with there's so much of this just noise.
And I understand all that, David, but let me assure you of something, Rocco and David, and I know you know this. It comes down to what the player receives. It comes down to money. If you give a hometown discount, it's because your situation is really good and you like where you're at and you don't want to move to a place that isn't as good as the place you're at. I don't know many places in baseball that are better than playing at Wrigley Field and living on the north side and the whole nine yards. Now, having said that, if somebody offers you more money, what happens? You go and you take the more money. This is sports. And nobody is going to say, well, I can't play with the Cubs if they don't have Joe Maddon. There's not a soul on earth, there's not a player in baseball that's going to leave if you get rid of Joe Maddon. He is the manager of the team. He's a recruiting tool, maybe, because it's fun to play for Joe, but it comes down to the money.
I agree with you.
Whether you leave or
not. Okay, but hypothetically speaking, so along those lines, if you're Nick Castellanos and you're a free agent and you have an offer in front of you, you have two offers in front of you,
okay,
and one's from the Phillies for 6 years, $120 million, and Joe Maddon is the manager of the Phillies, and you have an offer from the Cubs, 6 years, $120 million, and David Ross is the manager of the Cubs.
Without question, you stay with the Cubs. You've had success here. They're giving you the money you want. There's no benefit going to Philly and getting booed by that fan base. Why not stay here and listen to Go Cubs Go after every win? I mean, it's crazy to think any other way.
Might not be singing it as often.
Well, but who knows? You think Joe's going to go there and work his magic?
I don't know, but yeah. How?
Do they need a right fielder? Did I miss something?
Phillies?
Just wondering.
I think they got one locked up for a couple more years.
I thought they had paid a guy a ton of money.
He's going to play left.
Okay.
I just asked
how much are they putting into
it's
the
a
outfield?
Hypothetical.
You know, he's got the restaurant here. You know, we got better food, better chefs here in Chicago. If he goes to Philly, you know, it's going to be all cheesesteaks and garbage.
That's right.
Nobody
have
wants
a cheesesteak.
It's not very good.
Have you ever eaten a cheesesteak?
It's not great.
How? You know what? Take a you know, soft bread. Put some gooey cheese on it.
Cheese whiz.
And throw some grizzle in the middle of it.
Listen, pal, you're not ugh, selling cheese whiz. You're not selling cheese steaks, all right? I'm not eating. Steaks.
They don't even have Binnie's there. What is he supposed to do?
You can't sit on the throne of booze.
How does the man live without Binnie's?
I sit on a throne of booze.
That one's coming back.
This is it's exciting time to be a Cubs fan, and exciting time to be a Cubs baseball player.
Cubs win. Gordon Wittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs
win.
Chicago Cubs. Yeah.
The Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon Wittenmeyer.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Gordon Wittenmeyer is the baseball man, the Cubs man for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Well, Gordon, here it is, buddy. We've been waiting, and finally it is upon us.
Morning, Gordon.
Good morning, guys. Is this a great time to be a
in the studio.
It's a great time to be alive. It's always a great time to be alive because the alternative would be pretty depressing.
Oh, that's true.
Well, yeah. Gordon, wanted to ask you about what you wrote about this morning because, you know, I think you could make the argument as you do that it's division title or bust for the Cubs. And yet you look at the Nationals and their schedule and you think they've got a pretty tough road. And the Brewers are winning and they are hot, and but they don't have Yelich, and you wonder when they will maybe come back to earth. Do you really still feel like it's division or bust for the Cubs in terms of the playoffs?
I do. I mean, I think there's one scenario where everybody could just stay in the mud wrestling scrum these four teams are in right now for three spots, and we just get down to the last couple of days and we're in a similar place to what we are now, and then you're looking at a wild card fight. But really, more likely, these seven games against the Cardinals among the last 10 are going to dictate everything. I mean, look, if they do well against them, well, that, let's say 5-2, that would win 3 out of 4 here, 2 out of 3 the final weekend. You go 5-2 against them. They catch them. They tie them. And that's a pretty good stretch. Then you got the Pirates in between. You figure you win at least 2 of those games. And really, the way the Pirates looked last time we saw them, it'd probably be an utter failure if you don't sweep. So you're winning 7 or 8 of the remaining 10 in that scenario. And if that's the case, you know, you've probably passed the Cardinals. And then it's just a matter of are the Brewers keeping pace at the top of the division. If you don't, if it goes the other direction, good luck keeping up with the Brewers, because Brewers have a really easy schedule the rest of the way. They don't have the best team they play down the stretch is the Reds for 3 games. And the Reds are, what, 8-9 games under 500?
Well, they're no good. They can never beat the Cubs 2 out of 3.
Yeah, they can't. They can't beat a good team.
Wait a second. Wow.
But if the, you know, the Brewers, you know, it would be, you know, again, the Brewers could just go the other way. They could, for all kinds of reasons. But one of the reasons that the Brewers are playing so well since Yelich went down, it has less to do with covering for Yelich than it does with the fact they've got so many more options in their bullpen and bench now with September. They can mix and match now. The pitching staff that, you know, got pretty wiped out by last year's deep playoff run and seemed to have kind of a hangover effect this year has seemed to get a little bit fresher looking in recent days since Yelich went down. So against all these terrible teams, I mean, geez, they're gonna be facing, if they get early leads, they're gonna be facing, you know, crap pitchers in the late innings. And extending those leads or being in a position to, you know, find weak spots and score big late. And at any rate, if the Cubs don't, they're either going to take care of the Cardinals and catch them, or the Cardinals are going to take care of them and they'll get eliminated. I mean, those are the likeliest scenarios.
Addison Russell is eligible to return today, right? So, will he? I mean, I guess. There's a bunch of questions with Addison Russell. You wrote about the $100,000 that it costs him by going into concussion protocol and the idea that the team held that money back. My read on that, Gordon, and I know you don't want to hear it, my read on that is that he's not going to be around here, and they don't care whether he feels bad about, you know, 3.7, he's not worth that. 3.8, okay, they took $100,000 off him. It's still, he's not worth that. I mean, I don't know that the idea that they take money from them means that they're being tight-fisted, or if it means that, you know, they don't care about keeping him happy because he's gone.
I think that the likelihood of him being gone is very, very high.
Right.
And it probably should have happened a year ago. But the move isn't so much about necessarily how Russell's going to react to it. Although they set them, I mean, it's such an unusual move this time of year. I mean, it's only done for one reason, and the transparency is so extreme that they have set themselves up for a grievance that, you know, they may lose. But regardless of any of that, yeah,
Who cares, right, about the individual, especially that one? But, you know, I don't care if we're talking about, A, the worst human being in the history of baseball, or B, a guy that is worth so little, it's irrelevant what he thinks about the move. Other players see this, and how you treat other players matters in terms of your culture, what other teams think of you. I mean, you negotiated that contract. This part of it is a matter of good faith. I mean, guy got hit in the head. I mean, the only reason that you even have the move to make is that the guy got hit in the head, so you leveraged it for $100,000. I mean, that's not a good look. And they should have just let it ride. I mean, there's probably more teams out there that look at every dollar and kind of the economics of what they do in a more precise way now than they ever have. And it's, everything's just about the numbers. But it's still rare this time of year to see, under circumstances like these, moves made like that. We saw Kimbrel went on the IL when they didn't have to put him on the IL because there was a roster advantage. You were able to get David Bode back because there was a 10-day requirement for him to stay down once he got sent out on August 31st, unless there was an IL move. But in this case, the only advantage is it's just a money thing, and you don't see that very often. And again, you negotiated that contract in good faith, and the only reason you're able to take money off of the top of that is because the guy got hit in the head.
Valid points, solid reporting. He's not a sympathetic figure, though, Gordon. He's a hard guy for people to look at. Nobody's going to feel sorry for Addison Russell.
Who's saying feel sorry for Addison Russell?
Well, I think that the suggestion that they kept the $100,000 from him, I mean, the people are going
to
look
there at it. There is a larger picture to this.
Yes, there is.
And that's why it's worth paying attention to.
No question about it. And the point about the players is a very good one. The bottom line is when he is ready to come back, if they do bring him back for the final 10 games or so, what role does he play? Because you can't remove Nico Horner from the lineup, can you?
They've already said they're not going to. Originally, the idea was, If Nico's holding his own, then maybe you slide him around over to second when you're not playing Zobrist, or maybe even put him in the outfield where he's got some experience from this year. Now they're saying, no, don't give him anything extra to think about. He's kind of in a comfort zone now. He's doing a really nice job over there. As long as that's the case, why mess with it? Just leave him there. So Russell comes back, and his role is what it was at other points in this season. He'll be a platoon guy at second and a late inning defensive guy, assuming that he's the same player he was before he got hit.
So Kimbrel comes back, and obviously you're going to have to pitch him, but where do you pitch him? Does he immediately become the closer?
He goes right back in. If he's ready to pitch, he goes right back into that role. I mean, he's still a seven-time All-Star in that role with more experience there than anybody else has. This time of year, every out in every game is magnified. So there might be, I couldn't even tell you what that would be right now, but there might be a specific matchup scenario that you pay attention to, or there might be a specific guy on a specific day you like more. He's going to be the first closer option the first day he's available, and barring some kind of meltdown or command issues out of the chute, then he'll stay there.
Gordon, what was your view of the move by Joe Maddon to remove John Lester last night when he did?
I thought it was pretty consistent, and I also thought as that game built to that point, I kept thinking they're going to eventually get to Maley, and at some point here there's going to be maybe a 3-run lead, and then Lester's going to be out of there in probably no more than 6 innings. This is the pitcher he's been. you know, he's walked a much finer line this year, even than last year when he was walking a fine line with some of his stuff and some of his starts. So from a performance standpoint, I wasn't really surprised because, you know, it puts a couple guys on. It's the middle of the order, and they could get away from you real fast. And all of a sudden, if you're trailing by two, and the one thing that the Reds have had all year long, when the Cubs have seen them anyway, they've got guys in the late innings that they can throw at you and close a lead out, especially their ninth inning guy. So you needed to keep that game right where it was and turn it. You know, you needed a lead. You couldn't be playing from behind late under the circumstances. And again, this time of year, you got so many arms out there. You've got so many matchups, and they've gone over all these before the game. The manager, the pitching coach, the infrastructure guys, the front office, and they know where they want to deploy them. So I understood at the time. I didn't even look at the pitch counts at the time. This was not about whether he could keep going or not. This was about performance and what you anticipated coming.
Mm-hmm. Any feel for what's going to happen in this series?
No idea. I mean, you're looking at, they got their best pitcher, and the Cubs have their best pitcher at Wrigley Field on the mound in Kyle Hendricks, and maybe their best big game pitcher right now. But on the other side, you've got Flaherty opening up the series, and who's been one of the best, if not the best starter in baseball, or at least the National League, since the All-Star break. And he's always been tough against Cubs. So, I don't know. I really don't know. They're 6-0 against them at Wrigley, though. I would expect really good competitive type games in these four, and then if that's the case, you know, you figure the greatest likelihood is probably a split, which they really can't afford. But if they were to get three out of four, that makes those last three. I mean, obviously really interesting, but also, you know, playing a good team on the road at St. Louis with everything on the line. They haven't played well for the most part there this year. And, wow. I mean, it puts so much weight on these next four games.
No doubt. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Enjoy it, Gordon.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That is Gordon Whittenmeyer. Always a joy to talk to Gordon, and we're going to bring in Bigsy next. Bigs time will follow on the Mully and Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.